Let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, enlighten us by your Holy Spirit, and reveal yourself to us that we may hear your word and proclaim your good news in the world. Amen. Our first reading from this morning comes from 1 Kings, chapter 17. You can find it on page 311 of the Bibles in front of you. Verses 8 through 16. Listen for what the Spirit has to say to the church. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water and a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks, so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not empty, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. The word of the Lord. Our gospel reading from this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke. Chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. You can find on page 896 of the Bibles in front of you. Listen for what the Spirit has to say to the church. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. Word of the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer once again. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. O Lord our God, our rock and our salvation. May your Spirit move upon us, that we may hear what you have to say to each and every one of us today. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. In this morning's gospel text, as Jesus is coming away from healing the slave in last week's text, Jesus approaches another small village where he hears the wailing of a widow who has lost her only son. As he reaches the gate, he sees the funeral procession where the son is being carried out as the mother follows along mourning. This woman is a widow, meaning she's already dangerously close to the lowest rungs of the ancient Jewish economic ladder. And now her son, who is her only hope of having anything resembling a financial future, has died. And of course, she has lost her son. And so she weeps. And so she mourns, and so she cries out in grief. As Jesus encounters her, he feels compassion for her, this woman who has lost not only her husband, but now her son. He offers her some words of comfort, puts a concerned face on, and solemnly assures her that he'll pray for her. Then he goes on his way. But wait, that's not how it happens at all, is it? That's not the story we're told in this morning's gospel. Jesus doesn't look meaningfully into her eyes and promise her that he'll pray for her. Rather, Jesus has compassion for the widow and he tells her not to weep. Then he touches the bier, the pallet her son's body was being carried on, and resuscitated the man. If you'll allow me a quick detour, it's worth pointing out that I deliberately chose the word resuscitate rather than resurrect. These are two very different things. Lazarus and this unnamed man were brought from the dead, true, but this was at best a temporary reprieve from death. And the resurrection, however, this was not a temporary reprieve from the clutches of death, but rather an outright conquering of it. It is in this way that the resurrection of Jesus is an event that is thus far unique in our history. Now, with that digression out of the way, we return back to this morning's story. It follows the general pattern of the miracle stories throughout the Gospels, in which Jesus is presented with a need and he responds to the need. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he emphasizes again and again that it is God who provides. Jesus emphasizes that we must rely on God for all things. The healing miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the teachings of Jesus, they all point to the truth that God is the source of all blessings, that God provides, and that God can do all things. Prayer is important. The witness of Scripture testifies that God provides for God's people, that prayer has the capacity to change the world, to change hearts, and to bring hope in the darkest of times. Every week we lift up the joys and concerns of this congregation and the community around us because we believe in the power of prayer. We pray for the world, for the country, for those who are suffering, for those who are poor, for those who are hurting, because we believe in the power of prayer. However, Jesus was not content to leave it at prayer, when he could do something for the person there and then. Jesus was eager to heal, to feed, to resuscitate. He was eager to do something concretely. He was eager to help, to heal, to feed, even if it meant going out of his way. And neither should we be content with prayer. Perhaps I'm preaching to the choir here, even though we don't really have one. But it is important for us to remember that if we are to truly emulate Jesus, we need not be content to confine our helping to prayer. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. To be sure, we cannot heal the sick. We cannot multiply food or resources, nor can we raise the dead as Jesus did. These things are, generally speaking, beyond our power, or at least they're beyond my power. Our helping is surely restrained by our financial and physical limitations, but by no means should we let that stop us from serving others. This world is a complicated place, and there are many who are willing to prey on the compassion of those who seek to make this world a better place, even in small measures. However, we must not let that deter us from compassion like the compassion that our Lord showed. Compassion through prayer and compassion through action. This is who we are called to be as followers of Jesus Christ. Compassionate peacemakers who share the peace, grace, and compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ with the world around us. People who pray, but also people who do. That is who we are called to be. That is who we are as a congregation and as a people, as a congregation and as a church. Let us not be content with prayer.